Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Coach. A friend of mine texted me the other day saying that the fat lady was taking the stage in the NBA championship. It was after game five. And I don't know. Don't let her tune up too quick.
Oh, but, yeah.
Evidently knew what he was talking about because Milwaukee went ahead and completed the deal last night.
That's right. Only person I listen to, and I only listen to him, and I'm a straight-up Michigan State fan, hardcore. But I've met Jalen Rose like several times, and I listen to Jalen Rose. I like Jalen Rose.
I like Jalen.
And Jalen always gives you the truth about the pro game and the college game. Jalen like, look, they up 0-2. He said, Milwaukee ain't went to the crib yet.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Give the people what they want. You know what he said?
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, and Jalen was like, the Deer District, they're a blue-collar city.
Yep.
That's all they got, that whole state. The only pro basketball team.
Yeah.
He was like, look, they got the Milwaukee Brewers and then the Wisconsin
Green Bay
Packers. They're the same kind of fans.
Up in Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah. They coming down. He was like, look, it's going to be tied up. And if they win one in Phoenix, it's over. So then that game four, I think, when Giannis had played defense and then he turned and made the block of the alley-oop of Aiden. Aiden was not right the rest of the series after that.
Yeah.
And then he made that play. And then the Jrue Holiday, his highlight game on game five,
game
when he
five.
Made the steal – in the last like minute of the game, and he throws an alley oop from 3-point line to Giannis, where he's out of reach, and Giannis like, throw it,
get it up there,
get it up there, and Chris Paul fouls it, and he makes it. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, he has the Havlicek steals the ball. You know, I'm thinking about the Celtics,
Detroit Pistons, and Boston. They had the game one, and they stole the inbound pass, and Dennis Johnson should give it to Bird. Bird scores, and they beat the Pistons,
man,
right?
Man, the Milwaukee done had. And Giannis was there for all those plays. He's going to be, you know, you had like the one shining moment for the NCAA.
Yeah.
And the NBA have like a 100-year celebration. He's going to be there. His face is there permanently. But then I want to say this, because that 50 points, nobody has never done that in a closeout game.
Yeah.
50-14 and like six assists.
Yeah,
six
and
blocks.
Five blocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, the blocks was like, yeah, get it out of here.
He was on a mission, man. You know. And that game five, when Phoenix was up 16 and they came back before halftime, Phoenix struggled ever since then, man. And, you know, it is what it is. But Giannis was determined not to lose series, man.
Yeah, I'm going to give a background story of Giannis. I always watched the little specials on ESPN 60, right?
Yeah, E60.
Yeah, so they got this movie coming out with him and his three brothers, right? There's three of them.
One's on the team, and I think his other one's still in L.A.?
He with the Lakers, but he signed a deal with a team in Greece. He getting ready to go back home.
Oh, okay.
So he getting ready to go back home, so you know what that means. We got money, so we back home. We're going to start some businesses back home.
Yeah.
We got to get my Nike platform off of my brother Giannis in Greece. And, you know, the basketball courts. I got to be a representative for my brother back home.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be a global thing. So then they got a younger brother that's around two, though. He got 19.
Okay.
So I think he was playing on the pro team, too, or he probably in college. But it's four of them. And their father's deceased, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the mother's is there. But I was going to say this. When he was drafted as a rookie, you know, he was not a lottery, right?
Nope.
He was not a lottery pick, undersized, small, but only like 18 years old. So you got to think of like 18-year-old kid coming from America, coming from Nigeria, but then living in Greece.
Yeah.
Comes to America, downtown Milwaukee. At the time, it was like Cleveland before LeBron came.
Okay.
Right? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland looking like a raggedy city back in the day. So Milwaukee looking just like that. And he said he wanted his family there. He was telling his agent, I need my family here with me. Make sure you can get my brothers, my mom, or somebody. They got to get here. So, you know, draft day, they get him there, all there and everything. And he said the rookie season happens. Him and Milton on the team. And he said over the summer, he started getting his paychecks, right?
Mm-hmm.
He sent his whole paycheck home. So then he's sending his whole paycheck home, but he started doing this during the season. He's like, I ain't got no money. A home game, you don't get per diem, right?
Okay.
So he like, he going, I go to the game. He said, oh, I ain't got no money for no cab. I done sent my whole check to my mama and them. So I'm standing in the hotel. So he runs to the game in Milwaukee. Now you talking about November, cold outside.
Okay.
And he started thinking. He tells his agent, like, yeah, I sent my whole check home. So I'm looking, and then I'm thinking about the way his teammates talk about him. And I'm just going to get this comparison to everybody. Kevin Durant, he left a small market OKC.
Mm-hmm.
He could have got all the money. Got the two championships, two MVPs. He's there. KD, that's what he did. But Giannis, the way the community talks about him and his teammates, it seemed like they found like some type of messiah. Like, and the way the announcers talk about him, like he got this battery. He works so hard. He always pushes himself. And then the weight room stories they talk about.
Yeah, they showed a comparison of him when he came into the league versus where he's at now. And it's a total transformation, man. The guy is like 40 pounds heavier and 7 inches taller.
Yep. And then he also gave when Jason Kidd played there, Brandon Jennings, O.J. Mayo, he was around those guys. And they used to always push him to talk more, because he said, I didn't know no English. So they're helping me develop my voice and my tone. And the way he talks, he said this. I'm going to get his quote for our audience. He said, if I stay stuck in my present, I'll be on my ego. If I go too far in the future, I'll be on pride. But if I live in the right now, I'll stay in my humility.
All right, then.
And I was like, man, I said, I've never heard no NBA player talk like that except a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, very intellectual.
Yes.
Very intellectual.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I heard him talk like that. Yeah. So when I say I compare him to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that's the greatest of all time.
In that position, yep, won't then, get no better.
Yep, then I'm going to say this. So it's like an NBA hope they watching. Nigeria. He from Nigeria. Nigeria beat the USA Olympic team with four NBA players.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though he got Greece, but he's from Nigeria.
Okay.
And the NBA is over in Africa, so get ready to look out. They coming.
Okay.
Because they got talent over there. I really appreciate this year's finals. It was two blue-collar, hard-working, small-market teams and guys that were young. It was like, we young. It was our first time ever winning a championship. Anybody on both
being
teams.
Being on that stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody was a winner.
Right.
Everybody's first time to the finals.
Yeah.
And everybody's first ring.
Yep. And they definitely gave the fans their money's worth. They showed that picture of the Deer District last night, and that was just incredible. 75,000 people outside the arena. And I don't know what it was like afterwards, where it would probably balloon to more than that when, you know, people realized they had won and they wanted to just come downtown to be a part of the celebration. Who knows what kind of numbers they had down
there. I can guarantee you from people from Muskegon was there.
Oh, I know some that were there.
I know that. I know some. That's why I was telling people, I said, when Milwaukee wins this championship, we're going to get the overflow of the blessing of the title, because Detroit is 100 and something miles away.
200. Let's call it 200.
Right.
And you take the Cross Lake Ferry.
85.
To Milwaukee.
It becomes 85 miles, and it becomes an hour and a half ride. Yeah. Right. So now you think
with no traffic.
With no traffic. So you got to think Milwaukee, they're building up, and all this money is about to come to their area. What you think going to happen to our area?
Yeah.
We share the Great Lakes.
Yeah, and there'll be Milwaukee fans in this area because of the proximity of Milwaukee.
We saw me and my wife was eating dinner somewhere. We was watching game 4, I think, at a restaurant around here, the establishment.
Okay.
And I seen a guy with Milwaukee Bucks head on. I was like, I've never seen a Milwaukee Bucks fan
in Muskegon.
And he was here for the Bike Time events. And what he did was he was watching the game, so excited. And he was talking about how they used to be at the old space when they had the old gym with Terry Cummins and Sidney Moncrief. He naming all the old guys. I'm like, wow,
he's a Buck fan.
Yeah,
really.
He's a real Buck fan, you know?
Yeah.
Alvin Robinson, he's naming all those guys, and he's like, this is our year.
Okay.
And he said it's a good space being in Milwaukee how it is now, because that's real hard-working people.
Oh, yeah. It's always been a blue-collar town,
that's
man.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, hats off.
Yes,
the
hats
folks
off
in Milwaukee for the way they supported their program, as well as the folks in Phoenix. You know, they both were great fans. Some of the announcers were saying that, you know, that arena in Phoenix was as loud as any arena had been in.
It's the same thing.
So these fans were, you know, they were hungry for a championship. And they got an opportunity to experience that, though they didn't win it. Each one, like you said earlier, they're both young teams, and we look forward to next year.
Man, I'm not leaving Milwaukee. He don't have to go nowhere for the rest of his life.
Oh, he won't.
If he say, I want my other brother on the team, they'll put his other brother on the team.
Yeah, it's a done deal now. He's, you know, he'll retire in Milwaukee.
Yeah, he'll retire.
Yeah.
And he's going to get, I'm going to say this, he's going to get at least two more championships.
Yeah, and maybe run for mayor.
Yep, because the word is out on how great of a teammate he is.
Yeah.
Because if you're a sharpshooter, you're like, I knock it down in the corner. Oh, come on over. I'll get you the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're going to build a wall.
Yep.
And my job is to get the ball back out, and I just got to make sure you knock it down.
Yes, sir. And he know that. He has a point guard mind. So, you know, that's just enough sharing with him. But now we got something local that happened here where our Governor Whitmore had rescinded the reservership with Muskegon Heights Public School.
Or Charter Academy.
That's
right. There was a receivership from the state of Michigan.
Yes, sir.
Because of financial issues, if you will.
What they call it, the emergency manager law.
Like the emergency manager.
And Muskegon Heights was one of the last few schools that was on it.
Yeah, and they never did appoint a manager per se.
We had one for a minute. It was like a guy came in and made sure the system, until that private charter came in, it was somebody that was in space, but he wasn't actually, he was just
day-to-day operations like we normally see, like they've had in the other cities.
Yeah, he just came in and balanced the books and said, all right, here go the book. It was the money looked like. Now you could be a charter with Muskegon Heights. So that's what he did. Was it Witherspoon or something? I can't remember his name. I don't want to misquote anything.
That do sound familiar.
But I think he was the guy that came in with a charter. And he wasn't in a long time. Towards the end of the school year, like 3 or 4 months. Got everything together. Got the budget and said, okay, now we're going to work together. But it's a win, I would say, for the Muskegon Heights community. Because a lot of this CARES money is coming in. But then also, the governance part for the charter and the public boards.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
What are they going to do going forward?
Yeah, because you had a change of leadership, right? Superintendent is gone.
That's right.
Had to hire somebody else. And now the day-to-day operations is going to fall, you know, solely on the shoulders of that superintendent, along with the board of education. So they have their work cut out, even though things have worked out in their favor, like you say, with the CARES Act. But you're still going to have to be, you know, very diligent
about how you spend that money.
And how you spend and manage that money. Because if they come in the next time, it may not be a very favorable outcome.
Might be the death sentence of a school district.
Okay. So, yeah, and I don't know, did they name a superintendent yet?
Yes, Dr. Arnett Netta Thompson. She's pretty good candidate, African-American woman that understands urban culture.
Okay.
Worked in the Grand Rapids area for a while. I think she was at Muskegon Public also.
Oh, wow.
But she's for kids, and she'll be good, be a good representation. And I believe her initiative is to bring it back to what Heights used to be and figure out how to pivot in the right way going forward. Because Garcia put some good words down, but then when it came to the action of it, she didn't have the sense of the community connected to her vision. So now it's time to have this person that's good at implementing the next phase and step of getting to the. See, when you talk about Muskegon Heights, I'm a former alumni, and when you get Muskegon Heights, Tony, you know how it is. You got to be in the hood. You got to get down with them. And when I say hood, I'm not saying ghetto or anything. I'm saying that those people are neighborhood people.
Mm-hmm.
So then now the neighbor has moved, it becomes a hood. So how do you get the hood? Okay. How do you get the hood back?
Yeah.
You bring in somebody that not only look like them, but understands
the culture.
Understand urban culture, but then also willing to listen to the people that's in the former board.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's some knowledgeable people in that space. And I'm saying this, and we're talking about this on this show, because if you look back, Charles Hackley created the city of Muskegon Heights for the purpose of a suburb.
Okay.
When you think about it, if you look at any district of how the city was built, we're talking about before Mona Shores, before Roosevelt Park, before Fruitport and all these other spaces, it was just Muskegon and Muskegon Heights as two schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it was either state championship, Muskegon, state championship, Muskegon Heights, A and B. It, because they had the best talent, the best academics, both schools did.
Right.
And so now when you talk about a model of a suburb, Muskegon Heights used to be a suburb, the grocery stores, businesses, beautiful homes were all located in that community.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's speed up to today. It's still in the center of the city.
Yeah.
If you look at the radius, even though it shrunk, we're talking about a 5 mile radius, 2.5 square miles both sides, but it's still in the center of the city, and they still got water. They still got the pathways, the roads. They still have the highway around them, but it's in the center.
Mm-hmm.
And it still can be a great CBD, central business district, for this whole Muskegon community at large. As you see and watch Muskegon go, Muskegon Heights have to be part of that initiative to make it go for real.
I truly believe that.
Yes. So that's why we're talking about this school, because it's pivotal on how whatever we do, whatever support we have to give Muskegon Heights as a city or as a school, we got to figure that out, because if they don't grow, what's going to happen to everybody else surrounding them?
Yeah, well, they're going to have to absorb that city, basically. Okay, if you lose the school system, you basically lost the city. Okay, so very imperative that they get it right this time, because this may be the only opportunity they have to get it right.
That's right. So, and I want to think about Saginaw Bonavista. They don't exist no more.
No.
We're talking about a basketball powerhouse that produced professional college athletes.
Yeah.
And great students and academics. And they don't exist no more because of the emergency manager law. And when they came out of it, they didn't make it. So we got Ben Harper bouncing back because the mayor, Muhammad, fought. He fought. He stood toe-to-toe with Whitmore, like, look, you got to come in. You're not going to do this to us. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure this out. Y'all can get the city, but you can't touch the school.
Yeah.
And that was a good move on their behalf. So we just got to pay attention to people that's been in those spaces and figure out. But we, as Muskegon going, and I see all the development we have doing, we can't leave the hikes out. We just can't. We can't.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, CARES Act, there's money available for all of these municipalities. And, again, the key is to get it right, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, this money that's being made available. And if you don't improve the infrastructure, okay, if you don't build new homes, I've seen an article the last time a new home was built in Muskegon Heights, like 2008, something like that.
Yes.
And you can't have those kind of numbers for growth, okay? Some of the homes are near like 700 vacant lots. You know, the urban plight. So, again, along with the city of Muskegon Heights, Muskegon Heights public charter schools, this is an opportunity, platform, to get it right, to turn that city around, because if you can't get it done now, it will not happen.
Yeah, and we're going to move on, but I want to share this one book that I've just read. I love this guy. Like, everybody had they athletes they look up to. I'm in education.
Okay.
And I truly believe the platform of business and school need to go together, right? And this guy's his name Jeffrey Kennedy. He's from the Bronx. And he developed this concept in Harlem, where he took 100 blocks and created a school to work with 100 blocks of people when it came to their whole family. And he always talked about taking the public and the private structure and making them merge and work together,
mm-hmm.
so that whole community could thrive. Because you could do good in school, but when I get out of school, is what this piece of paper going to do? Mm-hmm. Is the community on board? And is a community, is a student voice, community voice, and school voice, are they all saying the same thing, where generations can shift and do better financially, socially, and health-wise? So it's just trying to figure out how to position, because it is a good model. The public and private model has worked, and it definitely can work for a small community like Muskegon.
It has to work,
yeah.
Yeah.
There's no other way. And I wanted to see it thrive.
Yeah.
You know, I do. I really do. So we're going to leave it at that, and just that's our sharing about Muskegon Heights. But what I was going to talk about today, Tony, was how to save on healthcare. But then I thought about the insurance, what's been going on with the auto insurance, and how people are being dropped off at the hospital that are quadriplegics or amputees or paralyzed or have some type of neurologic issue with their brain, and they're basically vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And what has happened to the insurance structure since they changed the bill on how
Yeah. The House bill was changed in order to hopefully bring more level premiums to the citizens of Michigan.
So cheaper insurance.
Yeah.
But cheaper same services, but cheaper insurance.
Somewhat same services. But before, a lot of it was mandatory type coverages, right? Now you have more of a cafeteria style where you can pick certain coverages that you want from a liability standpoint, medical, that kind of thing. You know, it's unlimited is still offered. One of the things that was taken off the table was the MCAA fees, Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association.
Okay.
And they're basically, their charter was to make sure that anybody in Michigan that was injured in an automobile accident that became paraplegic had lifetime benefits, okay? And what that meant was all the medical care is paid for, any retrofit to the home because of the wheelchair accessibility, the automobile that has to be, again, retrofitted for the use of a wheelchair. This group paid for all of that money, but the money, it came from each individual insurer in the state of Michigan to the tune of about $40, right around $40 every 6 months from every insured driver in the state of Michigan. When you pay your premium,
yes,
the insurance company collects that premium, but in turn sends that portion of the money to the MCAA, who administered all the requirements of these individuals that were hurt or became paraplegic. That is no longer the case. And the caretakers that were administering the service for these individuals weren't getting the kinds of money that they were getting when this was being managed by the MCAA. So a lot of these people have gotten out of that industry, and a lot of family members who are not equipped to really take care of these individuals are just taking them and dropping them off at the hospital.
Yeah, I've heard like since COVID, since last year, over 25 providers of those services from MCA had to go out of business.
Shut down. They're gone, man.
So we talking about nurses?
Nurses, home care, therapy, anything that involves the care of paraplegic, which is a person
physical therapy,
which is totally paralyzed.
Yes.
And maybe have the use of their arms. You know, some may, like you mentioned earlier, may have neurological type of injuries. Some are vegetables, okay, for the most part. Mm-hmm. But yet, if they were injured that was caused by a car accident, they were taken care of for life. And that is no longer available.
So then, so, now when it comes to the doctors making decisions, now they're going to recommend probably pull the plug.
That's possible from, you know, from family standpoint.
Financial.
Are they financially able to do the things that are going to be required for this person to have some type of normalcy of life? Quality of life will never be the same. But from a financial point, How do you make that happen? So it's another issue that's going to have to probably be worked out through Congress, Michigan, state of Michigan, Congress and Senate, and see what happens, man. But it has become an issue.
Wow. So that's so I was just thinking about that and just thinking like, okay, how do we save on insurance when it comes to health insurance benefits? And that's definitely part of it, just being able to say, hey, the government already done cut costs already.
For the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
State of Michigan definitely has cut costs.
I mean, but we done had, for years, we done had that loophole where people were making all this money. And the way the claims was, you had a loophole where somebody was getting paid a lot of money and somebody was getting the services, but then these people that were these CEOs of these companies was making.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
MCAA and what they were billing was like crazy.
Yeah, they were never governed by the state of Michigan. It wasn't like, you know, for example, with the school system, they can come in, take a look at your books, what have you. That never happened. That wasn't part of the process.
Oh, that's a free fall for money.
They just collected the money and administered the services.
Yep.
And
so whatever rate you want to charge, the MCA had the money anyway, so you know, I'm charging
$80. They had billions of dollars at their disposal. Mm. And of course, you know, there's a good percentage of that was used as administrative cost.
Yep. So then transitioning, we'll finish out the last 5 minutes of the show with just trying to figure out how to save on health insurance and health benefits. So my number one topic was, it says, as this article, it says, save on health care for maximizing insurance benefits to shopping for discounts to funding tax advantage accounts. These tips will lower your costs no matter how you get your care. Now, I'm sharing this because for the insurance we just talked about, also, people can put their health insurance to help lower their auto insurance also, can't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Coordination of benefits is what it's called. Coordination of benefits. And now a lot of the insurance companies do require you to provide the documentation from your health provider that says, yes, in the event that a member of ours is involved in an automobile accident, we will pay a portion of the bill or we will pay all of the bill, because that's going to determine what kind of insurance coverage you should have from a medical standpoint on the automobile side.
So then that would help
lower the cost of potentially your auto insurance cost.
Yes.
Okay.
But then what if something happens, though? So, like, we just got through talking about the MCA and how they cover things. So if somebody's in a situation where they, and this is my first topic, it says stay in your health insurance network. So if I'm in a PPO or HMO plan and they say, okay, accident happens where it's not a casualty, but catastrophic, where somebody lose an arm or something, or they can't work anymore, how does that HMO step in and say, all right, we're going to be there for this person? They're just going to make sure that the health is right back up to standard, where they can go back to work, or they can live a life where they can live off disability, or what? How does that new equation look?
Again, there's the coordination of benefits. Whereas certain portions of that bill from the hospitalization part would probably be covered by the auto carrier.
Okay.
Now, once you get through that, now there's going to be a period of rehabilitation and therapy.
The rehab part.
The rehab, the medical part, and that could be done through your medical provider. Again, that's called coordination of benefits. Auto insurance is going to take care of, you know, the ambulance ride, the emergency surgery, the care in the hospital once you're released from the hospital. Your medical insurance will probably take over from there to take care of your therapy, your additional medical prescription needs, that kind of thing. So it's going to vary just depending on the type of insurance coverage you have.
If you're in network, too.
Yeah, in network, too. And because when they say in network, it basically says that we have gone out and basically contracted with these individuals in this network that if somebody that's a member of our plan come to you, these are the agreed upon cost of the services. That's the biggest thing when it comes to in-network.
Yes.
Because you go out of network, then they don't have the same type of agreement with the insurance company as to what they can charge.
Exactly. I want to share this with our audience as we close out today. So several years ago, I was in a situation where I was in an accident. And being with Tony, this is what I learned from Tony. When my accident happened, you asked me about my coordination of benefits.
Yep.
And he was like, what you got? I was like, I got this Blue Cross Blue Shield. I got this kind of insurance. And he was like, if you want everything to happen in a fast way, take your HMO or your PPO plan and make that first. Mm-hmm. Then whatever the overages come, your auto provider will pick it up, because sometimes that billing is delayed.
Yep.
And I want to share with the audience, that helped me 1,000%, Tony.
Okay.
1,000, because every time a bill came, my HMO, I was in network with my doctors and everything, they picked it up, and sometimes it was no bill at all where the auto insurance had to pay nothing.
Okay.
But then sometimes it was like, oh, I think I ended up paying, out of a 3-year period of dealing with doctors, $100 out of my pocket. Now imagine if I didn't have a HMO or a PPO and I had to wait on the insurance, auto insurance, to pay. So then what would have been affected? My finances, my credit score.
Your care.
My care would have been affected.
Yeah.
So it would have been, instead of doing holistic medicine, I would probably have to buy some get some drugs and say, give me the prescription. Right. And that's the cheaper way instead of really trying to work through the rehab and the PT. So I'm just sharing this with the audience that it's important when you're in catastrophic events, accidents, to really know what insurance you have and mm-hmm. how to look at that coordination of benefits. So we got some more that we'll ask. It's 20 of them. That's just the first one, but we didn't give you the front story on it on why we're talking about health insurance needs. Is there anything else today, Tony?
Yeah, one thing, man, that we got to share with our audience is that you know, we've both been through the vaccine process.
Yes, sir.
And again, we've always said we would never tell people to do it. But one thing they got to be mindful of now is the numbers are starting to increase again. For non-vaccinated and vaccinated. I was just listening this morning. ESPN, Jay played for the Bulls. What's his name?
Jay Vincent?
No, not Jay Vincent. He was with, I think he played with Duke. But he's on ESPN. With,
Jason Williams.
Jason Williams with Keyshawn.
Yeah.
He's quarantined right now in COVID. Milwaukee with COVID, who has been vaccinated, okay? And unfortunately, you know, this thing is still present and prevalent, and we still got to protect yourself as far as, you know, we went to the no mask required when you go to your Walmarts or what have you. But I'm going to have to say, man, that I think it's time for people to go back to using their mask anytime you're out in public. And if you're not, you know, if you're at home and you're around your family, everybody's vaccinated, it's okay. But I don't want you to let your guard down, because I don't think this thing has gone away by any stretch of the imagination. And it's up to each individual to make sure that they protect their family. So use all the precautions that the CDC said and whatever you think is necessary to do. So, because school is getting ready to start back shortly. Don't know what kind of effect we're going to have there, man. We went through this last year. We don't want to go through it again.
Yes, I want to have all the kids in front of me this year. I really do.
Absolutely. So it's going to be up to each and every individual to do their part, to get vaccinated, to continue to wear your mask. Because we and I talked about, you know, we're going to still act like we haven't been vaccinated. We're going to continue to wear our mask when we're in public.
That's right.
Around individuals that we don't know if they've been vaccinated or not. So don't take this thing lightly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our show today. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.